This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
When he turned around, he was surprised to see the other turtles, Raphael, Michelangelo, and Donatello right behind him wearing funny party hats. Splinter was also there, but he did not have on a hat. Surprise! Yelled the turtles. Oh man, Leo, you really got me, you turd burglar, said Bobby. And everybody laughed because they knew it was funny.
Turd burglar.
I'm more caught up on that Jay felt he had to spell out because they knew it was funny, and that's why they laughed.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but it was hard to resist because I knew it would be funny when you were sad for a minute. What a pussy. Just kidding, said Raphael, who knew he was the prankster of the bunch. I mean, come on, right?
Logan.
What a pussy. Just kidding.
Live from Steve-O's basement, it's Friday Night Fan Fiction, the online internet game show where everybody wins and everybody loses. Tonight we have some of the most unsavory fan-written fiction imaginable being read by our wonderfully selected candidates, the contestants. Our talented staff, the referee, will be watching them with eagle ears to make sure they maintain their composure or die trying. Did I say die? I meant to say drink. It's wacky. It's outrageous. It's America's favorite pastime next to football, baseball, basketball, NASCAR, and poker. It's Friday Night Fan Fiction.
I am VMAC.
Oh, okay.
I'm Jamila Della Egbert III, mistress of the steam tunnels.
This is Friday Night Fan Fiction, recording on Sunday, actually. And today we have two very special guests, two of our bestest friends in the entire world, Logan and David. I mean, Cap and Hex.
You're too cruel.
Oh, no. You're cruel to the world for letting us be on your network.
You know,
yeah,
that's pretty valid.
Anyways, Cap, we've touched base with you recently. John, we haven't talked with you in quite a while. So
yeah, I missed you guys. Yeah, I've just been a bit busy. I was a bit
badsy.
I've been a bit baby. that's why I've been busy, because I recently had a baby.
So you've been a busy baby.
She just turned 7 months old, so
aww,
I've been busy for 7 months.
I like how for a lot of relationships, we start off initially counting the days and then the weeks and then the months, and then we just stop caring.
Well, I mean, it's like her first 7 months. Like, of course, I'm going to count the months.
I know.
She's almost a year. I don't know. I don't care. that's not how you think about babies. Like, I tried really hard to not care, but she's just too darn cute.
Oh, and you're looking like mournfully, wistfully off in the... Anyways, Cap, has anything been new with you? Like, have you had a baby?
No. Let's see. I saw some movies. We're going to talk about one of them. We've already talked about one of them in the continuity when this episode's released. We had a Chappie review we just put out.
Ooh.
We talked about that and on the episode. But I also saw within a 24-hour time period, and I haven't seen two movies in a single day in theaters in like years. We saw, I can never remember the fucking name of this movie. The vampire documentary with Jermaine Clement about vampires in New Zealand. Have you guys heard about this?
I know which one you're talking about.
It's like something like Those of Us in the Shadows or something. Those in Shadows. It's not a great title, but
what
it's a great film.
What we do in the shadows. And I just Googled vampires in New Zealand.
You know, that is literally what I did as well.
But well, it's great. It's a quality mockumentary, like right up there with the Christopher Guest mockumentaries. It's that good.
Wonderful. I do have to ask, how did Chappie hold up compared to
Short Circuit?
No.
RoboCop?
No, the other Neil Blomkamp movie, District 9.
He also did
Elysium.
Yes.
Well, which wasn't that one a big pile of garbage sacks?
It wasn't the best, but there were also some very interesting things. Like, he actually consulted with Los Angeles city planners to get the actual feel of Los Angeles correct when building it.
Oh, but still,
so there's a lot of work that went into it, but it still kind of sucked.
He's got a lot of incredible artistic detail, but he's a terrible writer. And I think
I agree with that. You can put a lot of attention to detail, but if you advertise your movie on GameStop TV, you're probably not got a good movie.
I think you're onto something there.
Seriously, like, name one movie that you've seen on GameStop TV when you're in there.
I wouldn't know. I don't go to GameStop.
Yeah, Dave. I couldn't list 1 minute of my life where I was on GameStop TV, so I can't list one good movie that I saw on there.
Well, when you work for that company for a while, you get kind of used to it being the only thing that you can hear, because they
put when you're a company man, GameStop TV is your life.
Oh. have you guys ever read Ready Player One?
Yeah.
So it's like the non-stop introductory channel that's inside the corporation,
right?
with that
you guys catch the wind of his new book announcement,
which
sounds like it sounds like I think a self-aware retelling of The Last Starfighter.
Yeah.
Oh,
sounds awesome.
Well, anything The Last Starfighter has me intrigued, because that and The Rocketeer have been two of my favorite go-to nostalgia movies as of late.
Well, shit, if you like Rocketeer, did you catch Agent Carter?
No, I didn't.
It's the most Rocketeer. It doesn't have a man with a rocket pack, if that's what you're looking for, or aviation. It doesn't have it, but as far as you know, that era of American history and that look of
that's what I like,
historical filmmaking,
yeah,
and sort of sci-fi twist, man, it's so good. It's so Rocketeer in so many ways.
I will definitely check that out, but enough side chatter. We've got a couple stories to read today. We've got two, possibly three stories, depending on how long it takes us to get through these. The first one is a reason why we had these people come on is a Dungeons and Dragons fan fiction.
Wow.
A Dungeons and Doritos fan fiction, to be precise.
I was going to say, if this is a Dungeons and Dragons fanfic, does this mean we got to, watch that cartoon from the 70s? Because I'm not down with that.
No, it's actually based off the D&D movie in the early 2000s, mm-hmm, with Marlon Wayans.
With Marlon Wayans?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I just made it go from bad to worse, just like that.
I actually have a theory that Matthew Lillard cannot act or be in a movie without having spittle on him at some point as a result of him overacting. And
Matthew Lillard's not that terrible of an actor.
No, I never said he was terrible. I'm just saying he spits in every movie he's in. Was it?
I don't know if he did that in Serial Mom, pulling out the obscure Matthew Lillard.
He definitely didn't do that in Scooby-Doo, because Scooby-Doo actually did that at the end of the movie.
I'll have to watch Serial Doo.
No, I think there would have been a point where he's freaking out. I would believe that, though. The director might have gone, hold on, Matthew, pause, let's just wipe that off. Let's reshoot the scene.
I was going to say, I can name three. Wing Commander, Dungeons & Dragons, and SLC Punk. All of those have him spittling.
Yeah,
no, SLC Punk had him spittling after his friend OD'd on heroin.
Hackers, same thing.
Yeah.
Also, 13 Ghosts,
same thing.
So it's like I'm for some reason I have this very encyclopedic knowledge of Matthew Lillard films. And I was like, yeah, that's true.
We should start a Facebook group.
Like, I have to pull out Serial. That's how far back I went before I went, oh, I got it. Like, I got
it. Like, the derailment. This is OCAD worthy. Okay. Dungeons and Doritos fan fiction.
You brought up Matthew Lillard.
I did bring up Matthew Lillard. The first one, the first, not song, but the first story is called A Fish Out of Water, a Dungeons and Doritos fanfic, and this will only be read by Cap and John.
Woohoo!
And they've already worked out how they're gonna do it off, so actually, John, if you could start reading.
Oh, you got it. Ah, hello. I am VMAC. But VMAC is not nearly. VMAC woke up groggy after a night too much spirit wine. Ugh, my head feels like wall after a fight with Batterigram, he said mournfully. The rest of the group slowly roused themselves, for they had been celebrating two weeks of absolutely no adventures or issues whatsoever. They had recently found the cause of all of their problems in the world, themselves. So in order to make sure they shed all their problems behind, they all changed their names and identities, thanks to the equivalent of the FBI, for which I currently do not have a name.
Yay.
Well, how are we going to... What's the FBI in Doritodonia? let's name it for this guy.
Okay.
The Mustard King. No, that's too complicated. And acronyms, they take a lot of work. Forget it.
I think it could be like some Templar order.
Hmm.
The Templar.
Holy Order of Cool Ranch.
The Order. No, it has to be like some kind of FBI pun. Like the Templar Order of.
Of Doritos mystery flavor switching.
You know what? Let's move with that.
Okay. Gaff, it's your turn.
That'd be the Toods.
The Toods.
So there we go. We got an acronym. Okay. Sorry for interrupting.
VMAC was now a steel worker by day and a dancer by night. But the dance club shut down, and due to their tampering with the timeline, Steel hadn't been discovered yet.
Oh no.
Jamella interned at the local country club as both a caddy and the electric golf cart. She wasn't doing very well, and her upper management was about to give her a stern talking to about appropriate dress for the greens. Jennifer worked at Hot Topic and just became a third key. That is so perfect. That is the most... This story will have... the hardest time trying to live down how perfect that is. I fully believe that that actually happened to that character. when he dreamed about being a surf baiter, he was a third key at Hot Topic. Man. Lefty traveled around the land, taking census notes on whatever population hadn't also been destroyed in the timeline corruption.
Bye,
yes. Here's another type. Okay. Bartholomew.
is that meant to be Barty?
Yeah, Bartholomew was a professional Pokemon trainer, the best there ever was. They all lived happily ever after.
Except for today, because today was the day that everything changed. It's a well-known fact that war never changes, and war changes everything. Since love is a battlefield, the war was raging within VMAC's heart. VMAC knew of his longful lusting of Galdap, but he could not act on it for two reasons. One, Galdap was an uptown girl from a white bread world. VMAC is just a city boy born and raised in South Detroit.
I have several questions.
I love it.
The Rocky Mountains, give or take.
Two, Galdap was a Republican. So every night while they celebrated their peace and quiet, VMAC drank his inner pains away, trying to forget that the love of his life would be forever out of reach.
Bob Ross?
Hey, VMAC, what should we do for breakfast today? Jamella whispered because of the pounding hangover. Let me redo that. Hey, VMAC, what should we do for breakfast today? Whispered Jamella because of the pounding hangover.
I will go find eggs before heading to place where steel mill should be. VMAC retorted with a slight exasperation. He was always the one getting breakfast because of his big, strong hands that would have been suitable for eating rocks had rocks been part of his diet. They were, sadly, not.
He wasn't a mountain giant.
He was not a mountain giant. He was just a poor little Goliath.
Little
compared to a giant.
His hands didn't have mouths in them, therefore they could not eat the rocks.
Right.
Okay, if you can score some bacon, that would be fantastic, said Jamella.
Suddenly, Jennifer, Lefty, and Bartholomew.
Yep, meow.
In the midst of getting dressed after a quick pre-breakfast orgy.
Whoa.
VMAC, who was already on his way out, didn't notice anything was amiss.
I'm so worn out from that pre-breakfast orgy. I won't be able to sit for a week.
He says, sitting down in his chair.
Where did they go? The orgy was hot, but it wasn't hot enough for them to spontaneously combust. And don't spontaneous combustions normally have fire and suitable heat? Lefty! Jennifer! Jamella said.
VMAC stopped in his tracks, at one instant concerned for his friends, but immediately thinking about Galdap, and worrying if he was all right as well. He turned around so fast that he ripped the beaver he was accidentally standing on clear in two. Jamella, explain! What did you see?
VMAC asked with trepidation in his voice. Oh, I didn't see much. I was still putting on my makeup. But what I did see was them freeze in place, turn blue, and then just vanish into air.
Yes, Jamella, with
eagerness.
We should find Galdap and ask him, said.
Well, shouldn't we look around a bit to make sure they didn't just go to take dumps together?
Wait, run that by me again in normal voice real quick.
Shouldn't we just look around a bit to make sure they didn't just go to take dumps together? Responded Jamella.
I love it.
Togetherness is important.
No, Galdap. No, VMAX said, like William Shatner.
No, not William.
Will I? Like Will I? Thank you for that correction. I almost mispronounced. Will I'm Shatner's very important name.
Mm-hmm.
They packed up their things, swung by the golf course to turn in Jamella's 2 weeks' notice for quitting, then promptly took 2 weeks of paid leave. VMAX swung by the empty field where the steel mill would be and hung up his hard hat on a tree stump, along with paperwork saying,
I quit!
Quit. They also had to go to the shutdown dance place to get VMAX hot show clothes, shoes, and wig.
They traveled for days and days and finally got to Galdap's trailer in Pleasant Oaks Chase 2, right outside the old roller wink. Rink.
Drink. Roller drink.
Roller drink. X. Just before the city and streets turned bad, Galdap welcomed them with open arms and a beard full of Cheetos and natty light.
Okay, now, right there. That also, much like the Hot Topic comment about the vile tiefling, is 100% accurate in what is otherwise its home of lies. I always find delicious Cheetos in my beard, and most of the time, they're the rare natty light flavored Cheetos.
I can't breathe.
From Indonesia. Friends, to what do I owe this pleasure? Do you have a survey for me to sign against immigration efforts and gun control? Galdep said. And climate change. That's a lie.
VMAC replied curtly, no, we have a problem.
And threw There's a no A.
Oh, no, we have problem. And threw a D20 directly into Galdap's left nostril, where it stuck there forever.
Jamella interjected before VMAC could retrieve his dice. All our friends disappeared before our eyes. We need your help to figure out what happened. Have you ever seen people freeze in place, turn blue, and then disappear into air? Thin air.
Thin air.
Poof. Diet air.
Air zero.
Galdap stroked his beard, and the baby goat fell out. It was dead, so it didn't feel any pain upon impact with the ground.
Yes. Good. That's where I left little Billy Bo Peep. So sad. Now that you mention it, Galdap said, kicking the dead goat back into the doorway. And replied whimsically, well, the orb of Felacius. The orb of Felacius has the power to cross the interdimensional barriers and send people to alternate realities that could greatly differ from their own. Our own. Everybody's own. Greatly differing. But that can't be, because I've been using it as an anal bead for the past 65 years. Here, take a look. Look, I can make it jiggle back and forth. I'm gonna join the anal Olympics.
Well,
I don't have much fortitude of anything aside from my Republican opinions, but that's the fortitude I have in spades.
You know, I think after reading this, we definitely need to make Galdap shockingly Republican in future editions. Just like, out of nowhere, he just spouts out a Republican opinion and then goes back to talking about Doritodonia. I think that would actually be rather appropriate. The crew trepidly entered the mobile home.
Not trepidly.
Oh, the crew tepidly entered the very lukewarm, entered the mobile home and shut the door just as a pair of Jehovah's Witnesses were coming up the dirtway. Galdap took out a clear plastic container from under his futon cot and said,
This is where I keep all my special happy things.
V-Mac and Jamella immediately wished for some brain bleach. As Galdap opened the box, the two held their noses and put on goggles because they were in, and I quote, splash damage range. Galdap took the lid out.
No.
Threw the lid out the window, and the three of them stood there in shock. In between the dragon cock and the My Little Pony figurines, there was nothing.
Galdap recoiled in horror. Because A, he thought he put his ponies with his vinyl collection, and B, the Orb of Phalasius was gone. Galdap spent the two on a quest to get the orb, and long story short, it was taken by that jackwad Flanders. However, when they got the orb, it transported them to another world. Ooh.
They found themselves inside a comic shop, where V-Mac and Jamella both got jobs. V-Mac eventually forgot about Galdap and married some Cuban lady who wanted to immigrate to America. Jamella...
Bah, humbug, disgusting! You took our jobs!
Jamella wrote a Broadway musical about the trans species community and won a Tony Award before overdosing on heroin.
Aww.
Can't win them all, but hey, I got a Tony. It's one step closer to an I-got. Ah-got. What's that thing when you get a Tony, EGOT, a Tony, and an Emmy, and a Grammy, and an Academy Award?
Yeah.
Philip Michael Thomas.
It's called the Triple Crown.
I thought that had to do with horses. And they all made out forever.
Hooray! No such thing as horses.
That was such a delightful romp, and it fully exposed not just Galdap's rectum, but Galdap's rectum is apparently Kirby.
Goatsy.cx.
The backstory of the entirety of the Dungeons and Doritos universe. And before I actually kill myself from stomach muscle contractions, we're going to read The Newest Turtle.
Yes.
God. This is going to
totally
be...
totally radical.
This is going to be everybody. And we'll start with Dave.
All right. Finally.
My comeuppance has arrived.
The Newest Turtle by Jade Freeman. J. Friedman.
Yeah.
Original source http://satellitehigh.tumblr.com/post/54019688620. The Newest Turtle.
That's a little poetic if you think about it.
It is. It's got like a bit of like slice of life as well as hyperdimension fantasy.
Right, with it's a postmodern approach to that. Yeah.
Exactly. You really feel like it's explaining the issues that modern day man has through technology that they're
familiar
with.
I'm going to throw up.
The Newest Turtle by Jay Friedman, age 34. Chapter 1, The Beginning.
Oh no!
Shouted Leonardo as he fell through the roof of a suburban home. House. Fuck.
That starts well.
He fell right at the foot of a cool bunk bed shaped like double-decker bus. Who was in the bed? It was Bobby Kendricks, a cool middle schooler from Des Moines.
Where am I?
Asked Leonardo and scratched his head. Well, duh, you're in my house in Des Moines. I'm Bobby and I already know who you are, said Bobby.
Well, I guess you will be the newest Ninja Turtle then. I will call you Bobito,
said Leonardo as he gave Bob a headband and a belt. The headband was camouflage, and Bobby knew that camouflage would be his official Ninja Turtle color. The belt was black and had a B on the front. Bobby knew that the B stood for Bobitello.
So what will be your ninja weapon?
Asked Leonardo.
We have many, but you can't use a bow, staff, or a katana blade, or a nunchuck, or a cyphork, because we already have used those. Maybe you would like to use a metal glove or a bow and arrow.
No, said Bobby. I will use a ninja gun, because I already have my own.
What?
Bobby reached under the mattress where he kept his Playboy and found his ninja gun. It was black like a ninja outfit and had a buzzsaw blade on top that was yellow. And on the side, it had yellow writing that said, Widowmaker.
Oh, I was expecting it to be some sort of, like, power tool.
Bobby had been practicing in the backyard for years and listened to Avenged Sevenfold, so he knew how to use it well.
I didn't know Avenged Sevenfold made...
They make instructional manuals and music, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, said Leonardo. A real ninja gun. I guess you have made up your mind.
Oh, I like that Leonardo is transforming into Kermit the Frog.
Oh, no.
Also, I read that as a question, even though it wasn't a question. It was a statement. He's like, I guess you've made up your mind. Bobby was excited to be a Ninja Turtle, but not surprised about it. He knew his whole life that he would eventually be a Ninja Turtle because he was pretty much the best martial artist in his school and also the world.
Wow. And also
yes.
The world.
It's definitely, it mandates and also.
Right, uh-huh. Right.
Suddenly, Leonardo struck a cool pose. Hey, Bob and Solo! He said, let's go get some pizza! Bobatello's fist pumped hard. Or Bobatello... No, that's not possessive. Bobatello fist pumped hard. He knew he was about to hang out with his new family of Ninja Turtles.
Next up is Cap.
Chapter 2, pizza time. Bobatello walked into a room inside the sewer that was the turtle hideout. But this room didn't smell like poop like the rest of the sewers. Instead, it smelled like pizza.
That's it just smells like clothes.
Instead, it smelled like a scratch and sniff sticker version of a pizza.
What?
Snickers pizza?
Or a scratch pizza. And sniff snicker.
Yep.
That was because when Bobatello and Leonardo arrived at the hangout, there was already 46 pizzas waiting for them.
46.
And some of them were even pepperoni, which was Bobby's favorite.
Pepperoni.
It's phonetically correct, but I want to share with everybody that it's
pepperoni.
Pepperoni.
I first read it as pepper pony.
I was going to say, what is it, like some sort of demon from Japan, a pepperoni?
No. It's bologna with peppers in it.
Apparently.
So it's meatception.
Yes, an olive loaf.
Except a pepper loaf. But yeah. We call it pepperoni.
Please continue.
Where did these pizzas come from? Asked Bobby. He was confused because he did not see Leo order any pizzas on their way to the turtle hideout. Leo told Bobby how the Ninja Turtles have a telepathic psychic link to all pizza places in the world, and how they can just think about pizzas, and the pizza places get the order, and then they deliver it in 10 minutes, and delivery person is always a hot babe.
Wait, did you say telepathic?
Yes.
Because it's...
Yeah.
It's not.
Oh, it's not.
Telepathic.
Those beats are telepathic, yo.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Also, that's not psychic, that's side chick. They have a telepathic side chick.
Oh, my mental autocorrect is too good, guys.
No, that's psychic.
No, it's not.
No, that's side chick.
Yeah, that is side chick.
Yeah.
It's not correct.
A telepathic side chick link.
No, it is psychic.
No, that's psychic.
I actually had to type it in.
I had to type it in too. I have that little faith that
Jake's not.
This is why we don't do this on Sunday afternoons.
Like, I have such little faith in Jay Friedman that I had to double check psychic. Sorry, Jay Friedman. I apologize.
Sorry, Cap.
Bobatello knew.
But after seeing
this was a special power, and it should never be abused. Hex. Bobatello ate his pizza with Leonardo. He asked. Hey, Leo, where are all the other turtles and Splinter?
You're eating them.
Oh, God.
Oh, I would eat me.
Spoiler pizza is turtles.
Bobatello looks sad. They were killed by Shredder in a fight. Really? Asked Bobby. He couldn't believe that some of the Ninja Turtles could have been defeated. He began to get sad, too.
They meant to say Leonardo, but it was said Bobatello instead.
Also, I love your generic 90s kid nostalgia voice.
I resort to it frequently. It's more handy than you'd imagine.
It's a defense mechanism.
Yeah, when I feel threatened, I'm just like, excuse me, princess. It's all over. I'm out of there.
Yes, said Bobatello, which is Leonardo again. So I'll just change the voice here.
It is very sad that they're dead, but that's how it is, so that's why I recruited you.
Bobby nodded in a serious way, but suddenly he heard a rustling from behind him. When he turned around, he was surprised to see the other turtles, Raphael, Michelangelo, and Donatello right behind him wearing funny party hats. Splinter was also there, but he did not have on a hat. Surprise! Yelled the turtles. Oh, man, Leo, you really got me, you turd burglar, said Bobby. And everybody laughed because they knew it was funny.
Turd burglar.
I'm more caught up on that Jay felt he had to spell out because they knew it was funny, and that's why they laughed.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but it was hard to resist because I knew it would be funny when you were sad for a minute. What a pussy. Just kidding, said Raphael, who knew he was the prankster of the bunch. I mean, come on, right?
Logan.
Wow, what a pussy. Just kidding.
I was one of those.
Don't hit me, man.
I was just saying, did you just immediately resort to the Boston or New York accent for that?
He's had it a couple times, kind of. Never really sounded quite that shitty before.
Everybody laughed again, and then the other turtles ate pizza too. There was a big food fight, but then things got quiet as Splinter emerged from another room with 5 brown paper bags.
Filled with poop.
What's in those bags? Asked Bobatello. Splinter pulled down the top of one bag to reveal the lid of a 40 of bottle of beer. Damn it!
A 40 of beer.
Bobby was excited because he had drank lots of beer before and was mature for his age. All right, beer, said Bobatello.
I was going to say, there's no comma there, Logan.
All right, beer.
I like to think it's more of one of those situations like, it's all right, beer.
All right, beer. It's okay, said Leonardo. Now that you're a turtle, you can drink because turtle years are people years times 7. Everybody laughed again. But deep inside, Bobby knew he was very lucky because now he could get drunk like his dad. But instead of watching football, he would be fighting the evil forces of the Foot Clan.
All drunk.
Good plan.
I think we just delved really deeply into Jay's backstory.
Deep,
like Jay
deep
Friedman's
shit.
Backstory right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's dealing with some demons and he's using the newest turtle to get those demons out.
It's going
to
come back later. You wait. Bobatello in charge. It was 3 years later, and Bobatello was becoming the leader of the turtles. Even Leonardo saw that he was the best martial artist, and he was great with his ninja gun. He had shot so many Foot Clan soldiers that there were only 3 left, and they were scared of him.
Recruitments for the Foot Clan were at an all-time low.
Bob walked into a special meeting and told Splinter and Splinter told him it was now his duty to command the team and also design new uniforms.
Oh my.
Leonardo seemed a little sad, but he knew that Bobatello was the best Ninja Turtle and deserved the job, so he cheered when the other turtles were cheering for him. They ate pizza to celebrate, but Bob got right to work designing the new turtle outfits.
No, not the zinging.
The zigging.
Oh, God. Just singing the new turtle outfits. I couldn't see the error there. I just couldn't see it. The new uniforms were really cool. The turtles now all wore pants. And those pants were skinny jeans from Gap. And the turtles also... All right, I gotta call them. The turtles also wore cool vests that were leather and had zippers everywhere. And also Ray-Bans and Air Force Ones.
So it was a mix between a Kingdom Hearts character
and Men in Black.
Yes.
Instead of their ninja belts, they now had Batman utility belts that were filled with gadgets and bombs.
Oh, okay.
They also had special mechanical wings that made them fly, and they also had laser cannons instead of hands.
So basically,
only
it's
on one side, so they could still eat pizza.
Okay,
so it's all the turtles' toys from the early 90s.
All the toys from every series in the 90s, except for Little Mermaid. All right, I can do this. Cowabunga! Said Michelangelo when he saw the new outfits. These are really party time.
I'm feeling catchphrase.
I agree with that statement. Soon the turtles were on the roof of a building testing out the mechanical wings. They were scared at first, but then Bobatello jumped off the building. His wings began to flap and he started doing cool barrel rolls and flips. When the other turtle saw how much fun he was having, they also jumped off, and soon there were four turtles in the air, and they were all doing tricks. I was really hoping it would be there were four turtles on the ground, and Bobatello laughed. But suddenly, Bobatello saw something below. He saw the Technodrome, which was the Foot Clan home base, but also a moving drill. It was where the evil Shredder and Krang made their plans, but this time it wasn't underground. It had drilled into the middle of the city. "Come on, guys," said Bobatello. "It's time to show the Foot Clan who is boss." Chapter 4. The Power of Ninja Music.
God.
Two dots.
When the turtles flew down from the sky, they saw that there were about a million Foot Clan soldiers on the ground already, and they were all ready to fight. It looked like an ambush, for sure.
Wait, I thought there were only three Foot Clan members left.
Apparently not.
And now there's a million soldiers?
Well, you leave them alone. They multiply faster than hamsters.
let's investigate this. If they said originally Foot Clan members, then perhaps this is some kind of amalgam of the, say, original comic book and film universe where the Foot Clan are people. But this is saying these are Foot Clan soldiers, so we can assume that they are foot bots.
Soldiers. They're not even soldiers. They're soldiers.
The beginning of chapter 3, it did refer to them as Foot Clan soldiers. These are Foot Clan soldiers.
Right, and
soldiers
also
is different.
It could be an interpretation of three Foot Clan members, meaning three Foot Clan penises, but half a million broodmares that have accelerated metabolisms. So, okay, fuck it, I'm reaching too far.
Yeah.
You're reaching for the penises.
Oh no, we've fallen for an ambush, yelled Raphael, but it was too late to turn back. Prepare to meet your doom, turtles, yelled a loud voice over a loudspeaker. Bobby knew it was Shredder, the turtle's enemy who was covered in armor with points and blades. He knew Shredder was behind the ambush.
How is it an ambush anyway?
The turtles landed, but they landed in the middle of a circle of Foot Clan soldiers, and all of the soliders had baseball bats and bow staffs, and they started to try to hit the turtles. The turtles were tough, but there were many Foot Clans. Why did I say Foot Clans?
Foot Clams.
Clansmen.
Foot Clan, so the fight lasted forever. Okay? When the universe has entered heat death, they will still be fighting. We have to do something, thought Bobatello, because he knew they had started to lose the fight. Suddenly, he had an idea. Quickly, he pushed a hidden button on his new outfit, and a secret compartment opened to reveal an electric guitar.
Oh, God.
What?
He took out the guitar, and it was cool as heck. It was purple, had two different necks and a whammy bar, and it was shaped like a rifle. What are you doing? Asked Leonardo. He was thinking that maybe it was a mistake to let Bobby be in charge after all. Your suits have buttons too! Bobby yelled as he tuned his guitar.
He's tuning his guitar in the middle of combat.
He had the money to get like those special outfits with the guitar in there, but he didn't have the money to get an auto-tuning guitar.
Or have the foresight to tune it before combat.
Yeah.
Foot Clan were sneaking closer and closer as the circle of fighters got smaller and the turtles were back-to-back in the middle. The other turtles hit the buttons on their suits and were amazed. A giant keyboard emerged from Donatello's back. Leonardo was soon holding a microphone. This is fucking Rock Band. Leonardo was soon holding a microphone. Michelangelo's entire costume became a cool-ass drum set that could hang upside down and do flips.
Why would his set do flips?
Raphael was on...
Because it was a cool-ass drum set.
Raphael was on the bass.
Like, screw you, Raph.
John, take us home.
Come on, guys! 1, 2, 3, 4!
Freebird!
And the turtles began to play a song that was fast and heavy.
I like Bobby and the turtles. Sorry.
It sounded like The Used, except mixed with Sum 41, and the song was really good.
So it sounded like The Used.
Yes.
I've got a box full of sharp, fat lips.
Even though they had never practiced as a band, the telepathic psychic powers they had let them know how to play the song.
I thought it was only for pizza.
I thought it was only telephatic.
Yeah.
Apparently, this now that was their telepathic powers. Their telepathic powers allow them to.
Yeah, the telepathic was for pizza.
Yeah.
Common mistake.
Okay.
Don't mess with the turtles. You know we came to rock. Don't mess with the turtles, because you know we'll never stop.
Oh, Leonardo. Such deep lyricism. It totally sounds like Sum 41.
It's the Midnight
I'm
Riders.
I'm touched down here in my shoe.
Leonardo was a good singer and the Foot Clan were starting to rock out pretty hard, but Bobby knew he had to kick it to the next level, so he played a solo that was so fast that the guitar began to smoke. He played so fast.
That's bad.
Only a blur.
Let's start doing drugs.
The Foot Clan was rocking really hard.
All caps, yes.
Michelangelo played a drum solo, and then Raphael played slap bass.
And slap the bass like a...
Yeah.
I'm sorry, all I hear is the whatchamacallit, the Seinfeld theme. That's all I hear.
It was Donatello's turn, so all the music stopped, and he played a really fast Beethoven song. The Foot Clan was going crazy, but they were still advancing with their weapons, so Bobby decided to unleash his secret weapon, a rat.
Oh, no!
Tell me Vanilla Ice is going to show up, please.
Bobby grabbed the microphone and yelled, check 1, 2! Suddenly, the music stopped and everybody stared at him. Bobby knew that this was his chance to win the fight with music, but he had to give it everything he had. Suddenly, Donatello began beatboxing, and Bobby kicked in to the lyrics of One Shot by Eminem. What? You better lose yourself in the music the moment you own it, but you better never let it go.
Go.
You only get one shot. Why are you putting the lyrics here? You only get
Mom's
one
spaghetti.
Shot. This is copyright infringement. I'll have you.
Mom's spaghetti.
You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime.
Mom spaghetti.
Yo.
Mom spaghetti.
Bobby was rapping real hard and sweating, but the Foot Clan was feeling the beats. They knew that Bobatello was a great rapper and that sounded just like Eminem. The Foot Clan all started to, quote unquote, raise the roof. And then their heads all started to explode one by one.
Oh, it's like scanners.
All right, yelled Raphael as the last Foot Clan head exploded. You defeated the Foot Clan with the power of rock and rap.
You've defeated them with Linkin Park.
You got me this time, but I'll be back, turtles. Yelled Shredder over the loudspeaker as the Technodrome drilled back down into the ground. Soon, the city was peaceful again. Bobatello, you are a great leader.
Thanks, B-Mac.
Said Splinter, as he crawled out of a manhole holding 30 pizzas. Everybody ate pizza and laughed, but they knew there were many more adventures to come.
Woo! All right, I...
Makes almost as much sense as the old shows.
It makes very about as much Val. Sense as when very I was playing true. With the dolls themselves. In the toilet. Anyways, I don't believe we have time to read, Essentially Innocent, which was our other Dungeons and Doritos fanfiction, but we do have time to read Jasmine Cum Slut.
What?
Oh, God.
Of course.
What, is this a Aladdin fic?
Yep.
Aladdin and something else.
Oh, my.
I think we'll start with
Dear
Logan.
God, this is long.
No, it's not that long. It's about as long as the one we just read. It's just a bigger font.
Oh, okay.
It's fine.
It's not.
We're not even an hour into the episode.
Oh, that's what it's crossed with. Okay, I'm down.
Okay, well, Logan, you read first.
Jasmine had no idea how much time had passed since she was taken. The bars of her cadge. Right off the bat.
Cadge. Yep.
Bars of her cadge were cold and restraining. Her chains that she wore may feel nice with the leather, but restraining. The gag she wore never felt slack.
But restraining.
The other women in their cadges. Is that really how he thinks that's where to spell?
Yep.
Were silent, as they would be electrocuted if they gave any sound. Fear was the best weapon for slaves. Jasmine had already seen several slaves executed, as they were too unruly. Just then, the lights came on, and several black cloaked people entered.
they moved along the hedges, taking a slave out and examining her before being taken away.
I guess this is how he actually believes cage is spelled. Yeah. Oh, since it is. I'm
looking down the page, I see a lot of
cage. This is a cyclo recruitment film from Battlefield Earth.
They soon came to Jasmine's cage. They pulled her and two of the black cloaked figures pulled her out by her arms. She stood, still not moving. Fear gripped her as she looked that these people.
It's very hard, Logan, for you to keep that tone voice with how this is written.
Well, I'm going to try. One of them held her arm out and stroked her dark skin. Yes, silky soft.
Actually, if I could put in a request for your voice, I'd be like, yes, silky soft.
Yes, silky soft. These eyes are also nice. Person said in a female voice. You need to enlarge your breasts, however.
Wow.
Yes, she is a fine woman. Virgin, yes. But it seems she enjoys the food we give her. A larger one said. Jasmine raised a brow at the way they said.
At the.
Oh, I didn't see that either.
The.
That way.
Ah, cum slot. Yes, we can work with that. Yes, we'll take her. One of the people then fastened a collar around Jasmine's neck. She was then taken away by one of the people in a small to a small room. Other female slaves were in, but they were blindfolded. Jasmine was forced into the seat, onto the seat, motherfucker, and had her arms fastened over her head, her ankles fastened to the floor. That was a complete sentence there. The chains that connected her cuffs were removed.
It's all wear.
The person who locked her in then picked up a leather blindfold and placed it over her eyes.
This is 50 Shades of Grey, right?
Oh, yes.
No, you see, it's Jasmine, so it's like 50 Shades of Teal.
50 Shades of Agrabah.
Oh, 50 Shades of Agrabah?
She lost track of time as she tried to listen to what's happening around her. But it was hard to. She fell asleep in her chains, dreaming of her home.
You had it.
Yeah.
When she awoke, she found herself in a cell. Oh, not a cage?
No.
Her hands and ankles, once again, cuffed together. But this time, she wore elbow gloves and fuck-me boots.
Of course.
Now, I'm a little behind on fashion. Dave, what are fuck-me boots?
Fuck-me boots are like really, really long, like thigh boots and stuff like that.
Oh, I got it.
Going to Google, Urban Dictionary.
Well, it's probably like the ones that are held just like...
Fuck-me boots. Tall, tight footwear worn to nightclubs, house parties, bars, and other social locations by women who wish to send the signal, fuck-me.
Gotcha. So not a real thing. Just as she was about to get up, two women wearing leather harnesses, leather hoods, but with eyes open and piercings on their bellies, nipples, and vagina.
Ow.
What did those two women do? In this sentence, they entered and one of them moved fast to Jasmine and sat on her chest, pinning her.
Pining.
Fuck. Is pining one end?
Pining is one end.
Okay. Pining her. The old princess didn't dare move. It's a bit of foreshadowing there. The other leather-clad woman then approached, holding a device. The woman then pressed the button, pressed the device between Jasmine's belly and pussy. A burn then hit Jasmine hard from where the device was. After a moment, the two leather-clad women then left. The cell door closed as Jasmine looked at the new item on her body. It was a barcode of some kind. After a moment, a flap at the back of the room opened and a bowl full of white stuff came in.
John?
And how does she know it's a barcode? You're up.
Like, I know Aladdin is supposed to be a future, like, apocalypse story or whatever, but but come on.
Escape from Jafar.
They clearly don't know what a barcode is.
There was a guy who used machines in the animated series. Oh, maybe, like,
this is the spiritual prequel to Dark Angel.
What? I don't want to know.
That was a real pull. You lost me.
James Cameron, Jessica Alba.
No, we know Dark Angel.
But what?
You don't have to tell me about Dark Angel. I'm just need.
Let me go to Urban Dictionary and look up Dark Angel.
It's going to be some sort of horrific sex act.
Ew. She got up and picked
up. No, that's the.
She remembered what the people who looked at her talked about the food. They called her a cum slut. She remembered some slaves loving the stuff coming out of males and females' genitalia.
I can't do this because the entire time this is being read, I have the Terminator 2 theme going in my head.
Could she be one of them?
No, there's no question mark.
Could she be one of them? At the moment, she couldn't think properly. Placing the tip of the bowl on her mouth, she then tipped it, and then stuff flowed into her mouth. Because that's how gravity works. She never tasted anything better. Savoring the taste as it went down, her pussy became wet as she drank it. The stuff fell down her chin as she finished. Not wanting to waste it, she scooped up the stuff with her finger and slid it in her mouth. She loved the taste and texture of her food, and she wanted more. She slid the bowl back through the flap. Just then, two leather-clad women dragged a slave across the floor. Unlike Jasmine, she wore jewelry instead of leather.
Finally, something other than leather!
The clad women then shoved her into the cell opposite Jasmine's cell. The women then left as the slave rose up. Harry, you okay?
Thank you, Jasmine.
Jasmine said, yeah, I'm fine. I just disobeyed Mistress.
Oh, it's Raccoon from Dragon Ball Z.
The one who owns us. The Mistress owns all of us. I'm part of a harem and soon to be pregnant. You are part of a brothel and will service men and women alike. Jasmine could hardly believe the stuff she was saying. Jasmine wanted to be free, but the woman sounded like that she liked it here. No one could accept their own slavery. Jasmine didn't want to be a slave, but it seemed the fate had other ideas. Soon you will have a mask to put on and taste bliss. Mask? The pussy mask. Your pleasure. Come, otherwise you choke. It's a great tool for a cum slut like you.
Wow. What has science done?
There's no science in this.
A little bit like Stan Lee.
Science in here. All magic.
Yeah, I like Stan Lee. I don't want to think of him being like this really dirty old man. Right, he's just a normal dirty old man.
Just then, two leather-clad women walked in front of Jasmine's cage and opened it. Jasmine stood as they walked towards her and fastened a leash onto her collar ring. These women didn't talk as they wore odd masks with white stuff oozing out of the edges.
I'm losing it. Her hands were then brought behind her back and cuffed together. It's impossible. One of the women then slid a dildo gag in her mouth. cutting any corners. The two women then led her away from the cell. They took her through lovely white and gold corridors with the sounds of chains and their footsteps sounding. Jasmine felt incredibly horny as she walked, but couldn't do anything about it. Normally, she would think about something else, but this time, the urge to play with herself had been growing stronger by the second. The two women then opened the doors to a room covered with chains, leather, and bondage implements.
Other bondage.
Survey says... Ding!
Oh, no, sorry.
In the center sat a woman in red leather with a blue-skinned woman licking her pussy. Oh, very casual. Jasmine had heard about them. Asari, an all-female race.
What? Wait. Stop. I don't usually like vetoes to stop.
Who were recently enslaved from one of the planetary empires. Interestingly, the Asari had black latex skin, but her neck up was blue.
But that's not how it works.
The woman in red.
That's not how it works.
The woman in red then screamed in pleasure as she came. The Asari then stood.
So, first off, the Asari don't have an empire.
Dave, don't.
No. One of the planetary empires enslaved them.
Yeah.
Well, okay, which one? There's only one planetary empire, and it's the Reapers, and they were defeated by Deus Ex Machina.
No, there might be also the Jedi and Sith and everything.
Could it be that we've actually touched on the subject material that David is so uncomfortable with altering?
No, I like the Asari. I can finally get my inner Captain Shatner on, and then this happens. Bull.
The also, Cap, thanks for the Wilhelm scream. The Asari then stood and walked out. Whenever people come in this story, I'm going to insert a Wilhelm scream. I'm going to try. The woman then noticed Jasmine.
Ah!
Wow.
Jasmine. She said, standing,
such a beautiful woman. Now, let me tell you what will happen. You will be trained until I think you are ready for breeding. But first, your body must be changed for that to happen.
Oh, God, is this going to be like Cool Devices?
I'm really uncomfortable with Kermit the Frog teaching people about bondage.
As she, Kermit the Frog, because...
The woman that led Jasmine...
God damn it.
And the other...
Waka, waka, waka.
Into a...
Waka, I'm gonna get into ass.
For the first time ever, Jasmine was afraid.
Oh my God!
Chapter two.
Waka, waka.
I think the first line is an author's note.
If you guys want to know the background of the story and setting, just ask, and I'll post a timeline or just a short brief of the background.
Ooh. I believe. David would like to know the background of the story to understand how Jasmine and
I believe
the Asari,
you were talking out of your ass, Hex.
No, I mean, you were asking, like, how is the Asari here? The editor, the writer is willing to tell you that backstory if you ask.
I guess you've got me there. Knowledge is power.
Yeah, the more you know. Da-da-da.
Jasmine was led into a basement by the mistress. The other two slaves wandered off for something else. The mistress held her leash, and quite tightly as well.
Ooh.
If she did this just right, she could escape. As the mistress stopped in front of a door, Jasmine gave a powerful tug. Is it leash or weesh in that? The leash came from the mistress' hand, letting Jasmine run up a few steps before an electric shock from her collar sent her falling down the steps. The mistress just looked at Jasmine. Next up is David, followed by Cap.
All right, so before I start this, I am going to down the rest of my drink.
Is it that bad?
I don't know.
I'm reading ahead just a little bit. I'm saying, yes, it's going to get that bad.
Yeah, I did a quick scan of keywords. I saw something. I'm not happy with it.
I just looked at, I did not go down the page. I just saw what was on the page. I'm like, wow. Yeah, David's going to need a drink.
He's going to need three. Is that Judy asking if you need a refill now? Ha. Or two?
I would like a little bit more. Please. Thank you. it was peach and orange juice.
I forgot to mention your collar has a special chip in it. It obeys only me. If you try to run, you'll be electrocuted. This will continue until you submit or die,
she said, taking Jasmine's leash once again.
Thank you, Evil Betty.
This time, Jasmine didn't resist, but her mind buzzed on what to do. The door opened and they entered. As they did, Jasmine's eyes widened as in front of her was a Chinese woman on her knees sucking a man's member. The woman wore nothing except for two hair buns and chains around her waist and ankles.
Wrists.
Her waist. That doesn't make any sense. Her wrist and ankles.
Chun-Li,
the mistress called. Jasmine stared at the Chinese woman wide-eyed. Chun-Li was a Chinese imperial soldier. The Chinese imperial solder, one of the best, but turned traitor and went missing. But it seems that she had become a slave. Chun-Li heard the mistress and stopped sucking on the man, and his dick slid out of her mouth. Still on her knees, she turned to face the mistress. As her face and body came into view, Jasmine's eyes widened again. Jelani's body was covered in a white substance. Her nipples, belly, and clit had been pierced. How someone could do that to her body, she had no idea.
Chun-Li, this is Jasmine, your new apprentice, the mistress said, indicating to Jasmine. I want her to be a cum-loving slut like you.
Chun-Li bowed without a word before standing. She then took Jasmine's leash and led her... the new dark-skinned slave away. While this happened, the mistress fell to her knees and started sucking on the man's dick. Unlike some other mistresses, she was once a slave and knew how to pleasure men and women. She, as she sucked in the man... Oh, fucking god damn this grammar. As she sucked in the man's dick, she massaged his bowels with one hand. With one hand. With one hand, I caught it. With one hand, while she uses the other to take the cups of her corset off her breasts. Her tongue danced around as she sucked on the long member. Soon another naked male came up behind her and pulled up her ass before pulling her panties down. Her wet pussy glistened in the light as the man behind her rubbed his dick on her pussy.
All right, what did I sit down to?
Unlike many other slaves, she was one of the few who wasn't pierced. Still, the man behind then slid his dick into her ass, making the mistress squirm in a mixture of pleasure and pain. The man who she was giving the blowjob to stood and began thought-fucking her.
What?
I'm not sure how you do that, but okay.
As they did right this, now. The mistress still tried to pleasure the two with her on techniques.
On? Off. Ooh. Yeah, there's like... 5-0s for no reason.
Cap can pick up.
Hooray!
Sorry, Cap.
Sorry, Cap.
Jasmine was led to a large room with a large medical bed in the center.
Well, that's the author's voice. Perfect!
Two Asari slaves in the leather harnesses unlocked the cuffs on the bed as Chun-Li led Jasmine closer and closer to the chair.
You sound kind of like Tusk from Dota 2.
That's scary.
Took a hold of baton-like devices. Jasmine just stared at the devices in fear.
Now we're going to India.
Soon she stood next to the chair and Chun-Li removed Jasmine's clothing and cuffs, excluding her collar. Jasmine was so scared to do anything else. She was completely bare. And Chun-Li led her to the chair. Sit, Chun-Li said. Jasmine laid on the chair as the two Asari put their batons away and strapped her in. Chun-Li fastened the cuffs around her wrists while the Asari fastened the cuffs around her ankles. The former princess felt so vulnerable. Soon, the Asari and Chun-Li disappeared.
Now, Cap, I don't know if you're doing this on purpose, but you're sounding very much like Janosch from Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, God.
Upper West Side? The room darkened, but suddenly... No.
Yes, it works! No. Yes!
The room darkened, but suddenly her eyes slowly shut as the lights shined over her. Her mind drifted back to her home, burning.
Uncle Janosch, your lap is uncomfortable.
As lasers and missiles hit the Arabian style skyscrapers.
No, it's scrapers. No.
Oh, that's how Janosch pronounces it.
Okay. I'm not so good with English just yet. robotic soldiers colored in red and black slaughtering her own soldiers. Jasmine watched the assault in horror. Soon, news reaching her that Aladdin, her husband, that had just died. So soon, she fell to her knees in tears as the robotic soldiers came in and took her away. Soon, the images started to fade. Aladdin on her wedding night. Soon, faded.
I want to now hear a fan fiction story about Janosch's background about why he came to America. this is making me very intrigued, just the status of Western Europe.
Her eyes started to open to find herself.
No, not started.
Oh, you're right. Her eyes started to open to find herself chained to a wall and her wrists cuffed above her head.
She's a heavy sleeper.
Her clothing changed from a leather/latex combination to a harem slave outfit. She wore harem trousers with the bit in between her legs was missing. She had no bra, but her breasts had grown in size to DDDs.
Wait,
the penguin?
The Kirby villain?
Imagine, if you will, twin heads of DDD upon Jasmine's cinnamon skin.
And they're spinning!
Her nipples had also been pierced with a chain connecting her nipple rings to the back of her collar.
Too bad.
Her hair had
Brosnan.
Been cut as well. Around her upper arm was a snake armband and bracelets around her wrists. Around her ankles were two ankle bracelets and bell anklets. She felt so defiled that she wanted to die. But as soon as dying came to her mind, an electric shock sent through her. It was painful, even though it lasted for a moment. Just then, a door in front of her opened, and Chun-Li entered, wearing a blue Chinese dress with holes for her breasts to hang out, and the lower part being transparent for showing off a vibrator in her pussy.
A song by The Used in Sum 41 came on.
And Chun-Li shredded some mad licks against Jasmine's vagina.
It's just...
Still with the party like my name was El Nino. Oh, hanging on there drinking in the back of El Camino.
That's a weird music video.
Jasmine just admired the sight. Her pussy started to become wet. She mentally cursed herself and was immediately electrocuted.
Ah.
Just a smile.
Ah.
Morning, Jasmine.
Those thighs! I didn't realize your larynx was there!
It's been surgically augmented for handling cocks!
Jasmine just stared at the Chinese slave.
Like what I've done with you!
I think we're looping back around now to Logan.
Mm-hmm.
Jasmine still stared.
We have enlarged your breasts, obviously. We've also modified your digestive system.
Fuck.
You can only have sperm and pussy juice from now on.
Yeah.
Your memories are also slowly being erased.
Chun-Li in the spot, played by Dr. Claw.
Hey! Yes.
It is I.
That last bit scared her. Her memory slowly being erased. She didn't want that to happen. But what could she do?
Your fertility has also been increased. Once you are pregnant, you will have that child.
Wow, that's, fast.
Beautiful.
What child?
Chun-Li
Whatever.
Approached, Jasmine holding a red gem. Jasmine became more and more afraid as Chun-Li came closer. The Chinese slave then placed the gem in her belly. Suddenly, Jasmine felt her body moving involuntarily as her legs spread open. She smiled as Chun-Li knelt down in front of Jasmine and began licking her pussy.
I'm very uncomforted by the fact that some of our listeners may be jerking off as we're reading this.
You only that's why I, now?
That's like, why every time we record, I always preemptively jerk off. That way I have 100% focus when it comes to the show. That's
when
why
it
I'm
comes to the show.
That's why I'm a professional.
Jasmine moaned in pleasure, but her mind buzzed in protest. She liked other women, but she would never have sex with them. But now, no, a Chinese woman was licking her out.
That is the worst.
I think
sentence.
We're actually watching the syntax break apart as the writer is jerking off.
Yes, yes.
Also,
that's usually how it
that, Chun-Li placed a red gem in Jasmine's belly.
Yep.
So one of the implications here is, can we add treasure trolls to this fic?
No, this is a...
It's a Chaos
this
Emerald.
This is a Guardians of the Galaxy fic. That's it's one of the Power Stones.
Oh, God.
The Infinity Gems, whatever the fuck they're called.
No, I love that you said Power Stones. I am all about...
I'm actually...
Totally like, I was having a flashback to the Dreamcast game, Power
yeah,
Stones.
Yeah, that's what it is. So it's another fighting game in the mix here.
Okay, yep. See, that makes sense to me. That makes sense.
I'm waiting for Garfield to show up.
Monday,
mind slowly accepted the pleasure, and her back arched in pleasure. She screamed as she suddenly came. She then stood as Jasmine's legs lowered. The former princess breathed heavily as Chun-Li uncuffed her wrists. Jasmine's mind tried to get her body to get out, but her body didn't move as Chun-Li placed a red veil on her face that covered her noise downwards.
Noise downwards.
Yep.
Chun-Li said. Chun-Li then turned and led Jasmine to a circular room where two slaves dressed like Jasmine danced.
What? Damn it!
One of the slaves was an Asari. The woman was the other was a green woman with two long tails on her head. It's Fiona. Jasmine had heard about this race as well. It's Twi'lek. Okay. Twi'leks were from... No, that's where. Twi'leks were from a distant world who were once enslaved by another space empire. Enslaved by another space empire. But interestingly, it's rare to see a male Twi'lek outside of working in quarries. Both slaves were dancing to men and women. Jasmine entered the room at the protest of her mind as she began swinging her hips and moving bother her legs and arms in a snake-like fashion. She was belly dancing, something that she was planning for Aladdin, but that never happened now. She was dancing in a room of men and women she didn't know. In her mind, she began to cry.
So wait a minute. Can we
What?
Can we get a mashup of with the sad trombone for this? John.
Chapter 3. Jasmine rested in her cell. For the past few weeks, she had been given a drug that trapped her mind while her body danced for men and women. But she found that the drug they gave her was less and less powerful each time they gave it to her. The fact was she liked dancing like that, and in that costume. Chun-Li also encouraged Jasmine to lick her pussy. Chun-Li also had a realistic dick strap. On that was filled with futonari cow sperm.
What?
How does that work? Where do you find futonari?
What?
Where do you find the count sperm? Like, do you just go to Sesame Street and he's like,
No, futonari cow.
Yeah, I heard the count, so I'm going to stick with that.
Jasmine had also stopped dancing.
Tacos is done, guys!
And was put in a cubicle and forced to suck dicks that came through the hole. At first, she didn't do it until she was whipped by Chun-Li, but now she did it without hesitation. As she laid in her cell, she couldn't help but be disgusted with herself at her lack of will. But what could she do? Her mistress was constantly watching, and Chun-Li was so relaxed as a slave, not to mention that all the slaves she met were nice.
Where
nice. Her hand drifted up to her collar and wondered how long until she would be broken. Just then, Chun-Li entered with a tray with a few things that Jasmine couldn't see too well.
This is a weird live journal post.
She instantly
feeling
got up.
Sappy listening to Avenged Sevenfold.
She instantly got up and fell to her knees, making Chun-Li smile.
Well done, Jazz. Now the mistress has ordered for you to have true slave gear.
I can't tell. Is it Patty Mayonnaise?
Yes, Patty Mayonnaise is now Chun-Li. Confirmed 2015. It's happening, folks.
And since I'm her trainer, she ordered me to place them on you,
Chun-Li said, making Jasmine shiver.
Strip, but leave your boots on.
I'm going to cream you, funny.
God damn it.
Jasmine stood and removed her harness first, which fell to the floor. She then removed her collar. But her hands didn't listen to her and found it a little hard to take off. She then removed her elbow gloves one at a time. Once they were off, she felt fully naked. Probably because she was. She knelt fully naked. Oh, okay. She knelt fully naked. That makes more sense than fell. She had long gotten over being naked in front of men and women. Chun-Li then placed the tray on her bed and picked up a leather collar with a metal band around it and a ring on the at the front.
This story brought to you by the Leather Council.
Chun-Li attached it around Jasmine's neck. It fastened with an audible click.
This collar is a permanent collar, Jazz. It can never be taken off unless the mistress says so.
So it's not really a permanent collar then.
Yeah. Jasmine touched the collar with a new sense of belonging. Chun-Li then got down on one knee and undid Jasmine's nipple rings, belly piercing, and clit piercing. She then picked up a linked chain and fitted two end rings through Jazz's nipples. The center ring was fitted into Jazz's navel, and the final ring went into her clit. Chun-Li then took Jasmine's arm and placed a metal cuff around her bicep. She then placed a cuff with a ring on her wrist. Chun-Li repeated the same with Jasmine's other arm.
I'm so not emotionally invested in this. She then took AA length on chain and clipped it onto Jasmine's wrist cuffs. Now stabbed. I'm sorry, no, I will do Master Tang. Now stand. Jasmine did so almost immediately. She didn't want to get shocked, so she obeyed almost every command. Chun-Li then... Chun-Li took another cuff off the tray and fastened it around Jasmine's ankle and reappeared it with the other cuff. She then took another piece of chain and attached the cuffs together. Finally, she attached a chain leash onto Jasmine's collar. Come, time to lose your innocence, Chun-Li then said, leading the former princess away.
What has this got to do with the Dennis Quaid movie?
I think it's just a switch of like scene or something that the author made.
Is it the author's way of doing like a circle in fade out?
I don't know.
Yeah.
End of episode. No, we're going to push through this. We're almost done. Chun-Li and Jasmine entered a large circular room. Around the walls of the room were beds and stocks. Oh, where's the leather? But few of the beds were occupied as few slaves were virgins.
I don't know why that was so funny.
Steve was breaking.
Chun-Li led Jasmine to the nearest bed and instructed her to lay on it. Jasmine laid on the soft silk bed while Chun-Li spread Jasmine's legs out. She then attached a chain to the cuffs that held her legs in a spread. Chun-Li then can somebody illustrate this whole story, please? I'd like to know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, she has like 40 chains on at this point.
She's more chained now than man.
Woman.
Gems all over her chest.
Chun-Li then took her hands and attached them to the frame above Jasmine's head. After being fully chained to the bed, Chun-Li then picked up a mask that looked like the ones the leather-clad slaves wore.
There's the leather.
Oh, I'm relieved now. Thank you.
Yeah, finally got leather closure.
Funari cows?
Funari cows, even. Smiling, Chun-Li attached the mask onto Jasmine's mouth before turning it on. Suddenly,
Judy just said I sound like a Wookiee in heat.
Suddenly, the two Jasmine started to cut off. She struggled in her chains, yelling into the mask. That was maybe half a sentence. Maybe. But as she did, she got some air, thinking there needed to be an air hole blockage. She used her tongue to look for it. As she did this, the mask started to excrete something.
Delicious. Ew, that's not a pleasant word in any situation.
It tasted sweet, like a man's sperm, but there was But there was something in it making her dizzy. Time moved fast as she kept on licking the mask.
How many licks does it take to get to the center of a slave mask?
Smoking.
The world may never know.
Soon the mask was removed and a large muscular man in merc armor came into sight.
Hey. Is this Boba Fett?
I don't.
No, it's Conan.
No, I don't want a Boba Fett.
No, it's Cloud.
I don't want a Cloud either.
The merc. He leaned over and kissed her. Jazz submitted to the kiss out of pure sexual need. The merc soon lay gently on her, running his hands over her belly, hips, and tits. The merc then sat up, allowing Jasmine to look at his 8-inch dick.
It's an incorporated dick. It's a company dick.
Here at 8-inch Incorporated, we know that your dick is very special.
So why not get it even more special by putting a platinum card count?
Oh, wow.
She knew at that moment she was about to... Wait! No! She knew at that moment she was about to lose her virginity.
Wait. I know Aladdin had tapped that at some point.
Apparently not.
Even during the story, like, hadn't somebody, like, thrust shit in there?
If we really want to analyze it, it may be because she's lost her memory of Aladdin.
So she
believes herself to be a virgin.
Except when the wind blows, it sounds like a jug.
Or Jafar, he was like, oh, he wanted that too.
Yeah, he did. Every character wanted that. The merc then sat up, allowing
even Iago.
Especially Iago.
You see, I really want that ish. No.
Useless butt plug.
I'm surprised nobody's done Iago up until now.
Let me really get up in that princess ass.
She knew at that moment she was about to lose her virginity, but no to her husband, but to a stranger, a killer, a merc. But she lost.
You don't really know that I'm a mercenary that I've killed. I just happen to be really rich. You know, maybe I've got a lot of investment capital.
But she lost all sense of morality. She didn't care anymore.
Master, please give this slave your sperm, she said.
The merc smiled and positioned himself to her lower entrance.
David is being the vagina filled. Pretty much.
She braced herself as his dick started to enter her. She moaned as it entered her. There was a slight pain from the dick that was entering her, but there was more pleasure than pain.
Oh yeah, this is one-handed typing right here.
Opening her mouth in pleasure, the merc kissed her as his dick fully entered her. Her mind buzzed with excitement as the dick started to move in and out of her, making her squirm in pleasure.
Oh yeah, I'm the greatest writer ever. Oh yes, the best.
Oh Roy, we started an hour early because daylight savings time.
Australia doesn't have that.
They have it in
David
2 weeks.
Said with a mouthful of Jasmine's pussy.
No, that'll be Aladdin cock. Seriously?
Nearby, Chun-Li watched as her hand was inside her pussy, remembering how she lost her virginity as a slave for nothing but pleasure and breeding. Suddenly, she was forced to her knees. She turned to see a strong, dark-skinned Amazonian woman.
Grace Jones.
The Amazon also had a large dick looking directly at Chun-Li.
Oh my god, that dick that dies?
In her tights, fighting for her rights, one woman.
The Chinese slave smiled and took the dick in her mouth. The Amazon then began throat-fucking her.
How romantic.
Well, that could also be Grace, too. I mean, honestly.
That's what I was saying, Grace Jones.
Chun-Li's eyes rolled back, eye her head, as the dick invaded her throat.
God, like a game of Risk.
Yeah, it's you.
Remember, Ty always goes to the defender.
Also, the line I picked this story for is coming up.
Oh man, I can't wait.
May I interject?
No.
Roy. Hey Roy, I have taco in my mouth and there is a lot of Chun-Li pussy going around.
I'm gonna read.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, do it.
Jasmine was coming over and over again.
Read it as Iago, please.
Jasmine was... Wow, I can't do that. Never mind.
Jasmine was coming over and over again. The merc continued to fuck her. She lost all sense of time. Her pussy was getting pounded by such a big dick suit she felt it twitch.
Yep, twitch.
Ah, your dick is twitching! Ah, I'm going to die of pleasure! Ah! She screamed!
That's okay. I'm done. I came. I'm done. Goodbye.
Yeah, like you know how in dating sims they have that pleasure
meter? Steve aborts, then came in his pants because he has really low stamina. The merc smiled as his limit was near. Jasmine screamed in pleasure once again, making the merc come in and kiss her. That sent them both over the edge! And the merc came inside Jasmine, who screamed in ecstasy.
This is closer to...
Oh!
This is closer to most Sizzlak than it is to Iago.
You know, I'm still okay with it, though.
Yes!
I mean, it's been, like, how many years since I've lost listened to anything Gilbert Gottfried
said. It's fine, it's fine. Just do what you feel like after the ooze.
Secret of the ooze.
Mm. It was coming.
The mistress looked over a holo pad as a latex-bound ginger-haired teen was licking her.
Ron Weasley!
She smiled. So Jasmine is settling well to her new life. What do you think of that, Kimmy? She asked the ginger.
Is it Kim Possible every time I'm on?
Oh my god!
It's Kim Possible every time you're on.
It could Kim Possibly be.
Nigh, the teen said before continued to lick the mistress pussy. Yes, now she's lost her innocence. It's time for her to be trained as a true cum slut. Nigh. And it seems that both Jasmine and Chun-Li are pregnant. This is good. More slaves means more money. You know, I'm glad we attacked her nation. She is doing so much better.
What?
I wanted to make an Avatar.
It's the Rhythm Nation.
Everything changed the day the Fire Nation invaded.
She is doing so much better as a slave than a queen. Nigh. Don't worry, little one. Your time will come soon enough. Full stop. My little pony.
What, so what? In the last three paragraphs, we introduced Kim Possible and My Little Pony.
Well, this is the greatest one ever made. Why is this not like on the Grammys?
This is what I love about this fic. It's full chapters long, but this is the entirity of chapter 4. It's one of those
ones
where the author admits that they couldn't be bothered to make more jerk off material. So, chapter 4. Hi guys, sorry I haven't updated the story recently because I've been working on other projects and this one had to be shoved to the side, which I apologize about. Aside from that, my cat was put down when I was working on the next chapter, then college came around. So yeah, sorry. Anyway, I'd like to address or review a guest.
Brony, seriously? Fool, they are peaceful if they come round and preach to me. You can expect they won't go home in one piece. Besides, I'm just doing this because why not? Because I can, and because I feel like it.
And because fuck you!
Did the author just go mad from, with power?
Yes.
Chala.
He sounds like the bad guy from Amnesia, Machine for Pigs.
And, like, you don't see, like, the actual addition of other, like, universes to this is, like, it's not like they dedicate a huge section to making it a point. It just sort of happens. Like, the Asari and Chun-Li and Kim Possible.
The Asari was kind of glanced over.
That's the point.
And the Twi'leks, too.
Yeah, and the Twi'leks. And the only one that they actually, like, focused on was the ending with My Little Pony.
No, it wasn't even supposed to be an ending. I was supposed to keep going.
Yeah, but it didn't.
Someday we might read the rest of this fine tome of erotic literature.
And someday, love will find you. Then she can break those chains.
And find you.
I don't know if it was necessarily trying to be an actual My Little Pony crossover, as opposed to it was just a throwaway line that makes no sense and is out of place.
I still like it. Anyway, that's Friday Night Fan Fiction for tonight. I'd like to thank Woo! our readers, David, Logan, John, Roy, and Cap. And that was, my dick is going to be flaccid for a week now after how much I came.
Don't lie.
That's good. That's how long it's going to be till we read again.
Very true. I'd like to thank the special guests again, doubly so, John and Cap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and read this terrible crap with us.
Thank you for having us.
He's like not sure if he should be thanking. But we always look forward to having you guys on.
Do I thank him?
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
And be sure to tune in next week when we do another live air session. And does anybody want to close us out with a highlight?
I liked when David paused to give us the professional lesson that of him jerking off before recording.
That is how you're supposed to do it.
Like, and now I want a whole series of professional tips.
Just the tips?
And then soon after the tip. Saying he was professional. Shouted into his microphone, "Oh boy, tacos are ready!"
Look, for one thing, tacos are professionalism.
Man, like, have you ever been at work and you thought to yourself, "Man, I really hope tacos don't happen."
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanfiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Mucho Gusto Los Medanos by the Towson State University Jazz Ensemble. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.